Take your Bibles, if you would please, today to the book of Matthew chapter 25, real quickly this morning. Matthew chapter number 25. So good to be here today and to have you here. I looked out in the parking lot earlier and Brother Pickett walked in my office and gave me the schedules of the services today, and he was so encouraging. He said, probably nobody will be here today. I was praying and trying to get in the right frame of mind and really be up in the spirit. And the old demotivator himself walked in my office, sour-faced, and said, you know, some of my singers are sick and, my tires are flat on the bottom on my car. And my wife didn't cook breakfast and among other things. Boy, we kind of wiggled out a pretty good crowd, though, today, just for the glory of God. Let's give our teenagers a good hand. Look at them, man. They're nice looking. They're setting up right like they're supposed to. It's good to have all you young folk here today. Bless your heart. How many of you rode a bus? Would you raise your hand? You rode a bus. Good night. Raise them up real high. I might be going to give you $100 bills. All right. Jay, you drove the bus. You didn't ride a bus. Oh, me. But we had a great crowd out yesterday soul winning. I mean, had a great crowd. If you want to have a real good time with the Lord, come out next Saturday about 10 o'clock, right, Brother Jim? And we'll have a great time with the Lord. Possibly Brother Bowman or one of these good friends will buy lunch for everybody. Brother Bowman said, not me, maybe somebody else, but we had a great time. Visited a lot of folk, found a lot of folk at home, a lot of folk we didn't find home, but we're so glad that you're here today, and I trust that you'll be in prayer now about our stewardship emphasis this month. Our church does not believe that you have a rummage sale and cakewalks and pie suppers to support the work of God. We stand firm on the tithes and offerings and free will offerings of God's people to support the work of God. We just believe that God's people loves God enough to take care of what God needs done down on this old earth. Amen. And we standing firm on that. You say, well, you don't have pie suppers? No. You don't have cakewalks? No. You'll not find a rummage sale out in front of the Joshua Baptist Church trying to buy pay the light bill. Are you listening to me? We don't sell people's used underwear to take care of God's work. Come on now. We standing firm, bless God. We believe that you give and shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, run over. Shall men give to your bosom? How many of you believe that? How many believe you prove the sincerity of your love by your giving? We don't apologize for preaching on money. I have folk call me all the time and say, preacher, would you come and preach on money? I'm afraid I'll run my folks off. I say, well, I know I will if you will. It's crazy. It's crazy. Every facet of our life involves money except Christianity. I went to Levels. Is that what the name of the store is, Mom? Levels? They've changed it so many times. What is it? Brookshire's. Well, you notice how attentive I am when I go to the grocery store. I'm not going back. They offended me yesterday. Yeah. Picked up a couple loaves of bread and 2 6-packs of Pepsis. Can you imagine they wanted money? Now, I'm not sure the lady at the counter could even count. Take the computer away, I'd be scared of my change. But she had no reservation at all, saying, sir, that will be such and such. And I looked at her, I said, ma'am, you've offended me. She said, why? I said, I didn't come in here to talk about money. I come in to get something to eat. And I'm pretty sure I'm not coming back. You have absolutely You've offended me to the depths of my soul because you wanted me to pay for what I get. Is there anybody here today still in love with Jesus? Amen. Well, let's you and I take a look. Last week we talked about time. And some of you look, you really need your faith increased from the way you look already. I know I do. Amen. As I sat in the office and we try to administer and we try to spread the funds around and we try to support and be faithful to all of our many missionaries we've already obligated ourselves to, as the phone bills and the electrical bills and the energy bills come in, it will blow your socks off to find out what all that is. And then the school, the bills at the school and the obligations at school. You want a good school, but you don't understand we got to pay quality teachers to get a good quality education. We try our dead level best to do that. And as we look around at the facet of the many ministers of our church, really I need to pray each week, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. We need to build a building. And I'm 69. Dear God, I'd be 110 by the time it got over. Lord, increase my faith. And I try to be an example to your children. I try to talk eye to eye to them. I do not talk down to our kids. As I try to be a friend to them. As I try to be an encouragement, example to them. Each day I have to wake up and say, Dear God, increase my faith. As I get older, things don't work like they used to. They work, but they're slack. And I look at families and what I would like to see God do in the families. And I wonder if I have time left to help you with your family. My prayer is, Lord, increase my faith. Amen. I want you to look in your Bible today. I want to talk to you for a little bit. I just ask you the question, what is God worth? What is God's worth? Let me ask you something. If you went to the doctor tomorrow and he said you have 24 hours to live, how much more value would God be to you? It's amazing in a time of an economic crisis. Seem like folks are turning from God instead of to God. They blame the president instead of knowing who really is in control. God may be doing some of this to us to get our attention. Can you imagine that? And so I just wonder today if maybe suddenly you went to your employer and you're about to retire and he gives you your pink slip without your retirement. I wonder, at the ripe age of 60, 65, or 70, what would God be worth? When you look at those little tow-headed kids, and isn't it amazing that ours is always prettier than everybody else's? Remember one time I went to the hospital, Miss Polly Lindsay had a baby. And I was looking in the window at the little baby, and grandmother was standing here by my side. I must have had a brain lapse. I looked at that baby and I said, that's the ugliest baby I've ever seen. She's not been my friend till this day. Isn't it amazing? Everybody else's baby's ugly, but ours. They came out of the same kettle in heaven. And I wonder today, as you look into the eyes of those little kids, well, I'm so proud of my kids. I have six. That's why I'm blah, 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 blah. Three of us today are preaching and giving an invitation. All of them are in church today. I'm so proud of my kids. As I look into the face of those little kids, and a little smile embraces my heart and fills my soul with a song. Do I realize they are lent to me by God. And they're the inheritance of the Lord. I wonder, when we look at those little kids, we ask, what's God worth? What's God done for me that I owe Him anything? Let's read, if you would please. Some of you are scared to death. You're not going to get home in time for the ball game. The Bible says in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that hath received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that received 2 talents came, said, Lord, thou didst deliver me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast thy, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thy wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I had not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then in my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall he take away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We'll leave off reading there, please, and let's pray. Our Father, today, we sure need you to speak to our hearts today. We take a literal Eastern situation, an Eastern picture, if you please, out of God's book. And we bring it down through the realms of time to a Western civilization. Lord, and may we make a biblical application of what's going on in the Scripture and what may be going on today in our life. We love you. And we need you. Please, in Jesus' name, anoint this service. Anoint thy servant. Anoint those who are listening today. Open a heart. And Lord, may he that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Throughout the Bible and the New Testament, our Lord most generally and often spoke in parables. Now, if I were to ask you this morning, what is the most popular parable in all the New Testament? Probably without any reservation, you say the one about the prodigal son. You know that one. That is about the prodigal son that wasted his daddy's living. You remember that? And took it over into the world and just wasted it on riotous living. And then when he ran out of money and he ran out of time, the Bible says he got in his right mind and went back home. You remember that? That is probably the most popular parable in all the Word of God. If I would ask you this morning, which is the most comforting parable in all the Word of God, you would probably talk about the one with the lost sheep, where that the sheep were all gone. And he went into the wilderness and found the one, left the 99, and went and got the one and brought back, put the lamb on his shoulder, brought it back, and brought it home. And when he got home, there was great rejoicing throughout all the land. Is that not so? But if I would ask you, what is the most practical parable in all the Word of God, which one would you say? You say, well, preacher, I don't know many of them. But I'd say probably the one I just read for you this morning is the most practical parable in all the Bible. Why? Because that's where we all live. If we would tell the truth this morning, we would identify with the guy with the one talent more than we do with the guy with the five. That's why we don't like it. God has delivered to us His goods. And I wonder, what are we using them for? For whom do we use them? And who is receiving the benefit of all that God has given us? And so the most popular parable would be the prodigal son. The most comforting would probably be the lost sheep. But the most practical would be this one this morning. And so I'd like to bring to you this morning just a short message. You say, how short? That's a matter of speech. I'm glad that Brother Merrill's daughter's not in here this morning because she's got a timing machine for me. For you folks who don't come on Sunday night, shame on you. For you folks who don't come on Wednesday night, you're missing a blessing. But on Wednesday or Sunday night, I went by and the little Merle girl asked me, how old is she, Brother Mike? She's 8. She asked me, said, preacher, how long are you going to preach tonight? I said, about this long. I got up to preach and she did her hands like this. I kicked her out of the church. Oh, these kids. See, that's what most of us worry about. Preacher, how long are you going to preach? About this long. I want to take the Bible now and I want to show you something. All that we have, all that we are, can be traced to the same fountain. It's the fountain of God. Everything you and I have, the Bible says He is the giver of all things. My health today, I do not owe to my wife's good cooking. Although she's a tremendous cook, she does not know how to spell lard. I would rather be happy as healthy. Whoever condemned lard is of the devil. Occasionally, I walk in the kitchen and just get me a cup of grease and drink it. Oh, I'm just kidding, Ms. Martin. I really don't think she's in yuck. But all that we have, all that we are, we can all trace it back to the same fountain. My health is the gift of God. My wealth, I'm questioning that. Somebody told me one day God could give you all He could trust you with. I'm concerned. I must be a crooked booger. But all that I have, my time, my opportunities, my abilities, my influence, the power of thought, the power of oratory, whatever I may have this morning, it is not of me. I am what I am by the grace of God. I have what I have by God's wonderful giving and loving grace. I don't know today about you, but I just know from whence everything comes. Someone said, what do you have that you have not received? that car with cruise control. Did they deliver that down at the hospital when you were born? Or did maybe in God's sovereignty and God's grace and God's wonder and God's beauty and God's generosity, God has given that to you? I'd like to tell you today that all men are created equal. That is not true. That is not true. Have you seen Arnold Schwarzenegger? Well, look at me. We are not created equal. You're welcome. Some of you folks are just flat ugly. And some of you are uglier than the ugly. And then there's us, who's uglier than all. But whatever you have, wherever you are, whatever you've got, it has can be traced back to the same fountain, and that is straight to the feet and love of Almighty God. I don't care who you are. You might say, preacher, I'm not a Baptist. Well, let me tell you something. God just did not bless the Baptist. I just believe, and you remember, you need to remember, they are not yours. Your talents, your money, your abilities, your opportunities, your availabilities, they are not yours. They belong to somebody else. Well, preacher, I'll come to church Sunday if I have time. Let me tell you something. God can fix that. God can give you a lot of time laying flat on your back just considering what you did with your time. And so I just believe not only our abilities, our kids, it all belongs to God. It can all be traced back to the same place. Notice, if you would, please, if you would, in verse 14, where did they come from? In verse number 14 in your Bible, the kingdom of heaven. Now, you notice it did not say the kingdom of God. If it was talking about the kingdom of God, it would have spelled the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is not the same thing. In the kingdom of heaven, there are tares and wheat. In the kingdom of God, there is no tares and wheat. In the kingdom of heaven, there are lost folks and saved folks. There are folks who obey God. There are folks who do not obey God. In the kingdom of God, that's not so. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is your life. And who is at the control of your life? And who is the king of your life? And who is calling the shots in your life? The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is not the same. But in the kingdom of heaven, in the church, in this day of grace, in this day, there are those in there that has 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. Give me an amen, because some of you look like you went to sleep on me. So we're talking about the nasty now, and not the sweet by and by. And in the kingdom of heaven, notice verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is just like, or can be compared to, as a man traveling into a far country who called his what together? Somebody tell me. Say what? Say what? Servants. And delivered unto them whose goods? Whose goods? Guess whose goods you got? Somebody tell me whose goods you got. Then you quit saying they're yours. You quit acting like they're yours. You quit treating them like they're yours, because they are his goods and he's delivered them unto his what? Boy, that got weak, didn't it? And delivered them unto his what? Oh, really? Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a Bible there in the back of the pew. You can get it. And the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. Guess where they came from? They came from God. And guess who they belong to? I think somehow we missed that up. About the only thing you and I got that belongs to us, let me give it to you, is our sins. You know where our sins come from? Come from within. Paul said, I find a law warring in me, and that's the law of sin, bringing me into captivity. Can you remember that? And you know what? Sin is not on the outside. Sin is on the inside. And the only thing we bring to God that is our own is our sins, and his precious son died that he may help us in that category. Is that not so? So, look at it, if you would, please. Many Christians deny the fact that they are accountable to anyone. They deny the obligation and responsibilities. They spend life in rebellion toward God as if everything belongs to them. Most Christians remind me of Ananias and Sapphira. You ever met the couple over in Acts chapter 5? Have you ever met Ananias and Sapphira in chapter number 5? Have you ever read that story? I think we need an Ananias and Sapphira situation in our church on Sunday morning about once a month. You say our church attendance would go down. Well, we could turn the air conditioner off. We wouldn't need that. But Ananias and Sapphira lied to God about their offering. You folk remember that? And they had this sneaking opinion. I don't know where they got it. That this belonged to them. And they were trying to emulate what was going in the church. And Barnabas had sold his land and give it to the Lord. And the disciples had sold their land and gave it to the Lord. And then in Acts chapter 5, we find Ananias and Sapphira going to get on the situation. And they sold their land. And they promised God to give him the proceeds. But when it sold for so much, they said to themselves, well, let's keep a little back. After all, it's not God's. It was ours to begin with. And so let's just keep a little back. And you read that story? Boy, that was a wonderful church service that Sunday morning, wasn't it? And Ananias was called up front. Peter, the pastor of the church, said, Ananias, why have you lied to God? Think maybe I ought to go look at the giving record and see if we got any of those folks here today? Amen. You say, man, I tell you, I wouldn't want to be a member of that church. Well, that, you know, the scripture said that no man joined himself to that bunch except those that believed. And Ananias said, what are you talking about? Jesus said, Peter said, well, you promised God you'd give so much, and now you've hedged on that, and you've got some of it in your pocket. I tell you what, let's just have revival. And he killed Ananias right in the front of the church. He died Stone Rock graveyard dead right in front of the church. I bet we didn't have too many amens that deal. Hallelujah. Crack up a praise team. Get it going. Ananias just got killed in the front of the church for lying to God. In come Miss Sapphira, dressed in the dress she just got at Dillard's from the money she stole from God. Fall off. I got you, didn't you? You thought I was going to fall, didn't you? Well, you ain't the only one thought I was going to fall. And she sashers her way into church, bringing her offering to God, she was. And she said, by the way, has anybody seen Annie anywhere? One of the folks said, are you laying around out back somewhere? And bang, God killed her in front of the church. As if there's no accountability. As if there's no responsibility. This parable is given to us to show us something that we need to learn. It's not ours. Amen. They're not ours. God's given them to us to manage, to enjoy, yes, but not to bring glory and benefit to us, but to bring glory and honor to God. Could I have an amen? You see, look at verse 24 and 25. And I know this is not a good term, but I want you to take a look at the losers. The loser's testimony. Look at this in verse 24 and 25. The Bible said, then they which had seen one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strown. Now, the first thing I see, this guy's got the wrong opinion of God. Now, a lot of folks sitting in our auditorium today have a wrong attitude of God, wrong opinion of God. You think God is hard and God is demanding and God is unjust and God is unfair and God wouldn't have done this if it had not been unfair. Why did God do that to me? Why did God do that to the neighbor? Why did God cause the accident? Why do they have cancer? Hey, look, that's not for us to say why. It's for us to just believe God knows what He's doing. And that all things work together for good to them that love God. And this guy, the loser, had a wrong opinion of God. Dear Lord, I just know I'm going to be accountable to something that I cannot do. But now notice verse 25. So I was afraid and went to hit my talent in the earth low. And there, that is thine. Notice, do you see any song in those verses? This guy, Brother Pickett, would have to pull a song out of him during a song service. Why ain't you folks singing? Well, you don't even have a song book. What's wrong? Well, I just don't have nothing to sing about. Look at this guy. No song. There's no song swelling up in his soul. I don't think he's been to Calvary because he don't know anything about grace. He has no excitement, enthusiasm at all. Notice if you would, there's no light in his eyes. You just look at him and there's a sign in his forehead, vacancy. Hadn't had a spiritual thought all week. Hadn't had one dime worth a minute in the Word of God. Hadn't spent any time in prayer. Well, all this guy is doing, he just plain scared, bless your heart. There's no song, there's no light in his eyes, no music in his soul, no joy in his heart. Why? Look at verse 25. Why? Why is there no song? Why is there no enthusiasm? Why is there no joy? Why? Verse 25, the Bible said, I was afraid. People who are afraid have no joy. Well, I'm afraid he's going to leave me. Well, I'm afraid she's going to leave me. I'm afraid if they get out of the house and find somebody, he'll realize how unable I am or how inept I am. Me try something? Why, dear God, I've never done anything right. Hey, look, you know what's wrong, most Baptists I know? They're afraid to try anything. They're afraid to sing in a choir, afraid somebody next to them will hear them. Oh, what's the little good is you'll hear the guy next door to you. And after you hear them sing, you'll sing out real loud. You say, hey, are you afraid to try to teach a class? Well, them kids, they've been in church all their life. And they'll know things that I don't know anything about. Why, some of these kids, they might even know John 3:16. You don't have to worry about knowing more than they do about everything. Just know more about what you're teaching than they do. Afraid. You know why I had no joy? You know what's wrong with our church? We're afraid. Full of fear. Afraid we'll flop. Afraid somebody will see us like we really are. Afraid to let our real person go outside. Afraid that they'll see just how inept and how unavailable we are. Hello, can anybody say amen? So Brother Pickett's got to get up here now. Everybody stand. Everybody sing. Everybody get a songbook. And just shame us to death because we ain't singing for God's glory. Amen. But we go to a ball game. And enthusiasm just runs all over us. We don't even like the people we're yelling for. We hate the guys running around out there in them striped drawers. We're always yelling at them. Kill them! Shoot them! Run over them! Stop them! Why aren't you afraid down there? But you come to church, your soul is there. Quiet as a church mouse. Going to find my little seat over here someplace and hope nobody sees me. No song. No joy, no enthusiasm, no exuberance, No shout. God help us. We got something to shout about. Amen. We got something to sing about, have we not? Oh, you say, preacher, I tell you, you know, you and I cannot have a good church service as long as you keep dragging the world in with you and walling around your hog pen while I preach. Amen. For instance, you say, how long are you going to preach? Oh, till about 11:20. What time is it now? 11:20. So now I'm going to start meddling. Let me ask you. How many of you had a quiet time before you come to church? Don't raise your hand. Had a quiet time where you just sat down and spent some time with God before you came to church today? Don't raise your hand. How many of you cracked the Bible this morning before you came to church? How many of you spent at least a minute and a half praying that the preacher would be anointed and filled by the Holy Spirit of God today, and that some supernatural divine way he would say something to minister to hurting families and hurting moms and hurting dads and hurting kids and needy people? How many of you spent 1 minute and a half praying for your preacher this morning before you came to church? How many of you invited God into your life today before you walked into God's house? Sorry, folks, we can't have church full of flesh. I can pray. I can fast. I can study. I can think. I can meditate till hell freezes over. But if you come to this church full of flesh and in the flesh, that's all we're going to get out is just a whole lot more ugly, dirty flesh. Now I'm going to start preaching again. He was afraid. Notice the testimony of the winners. I find that, if you would please, in verse 21 and 23. And you say, preacher, how long are you going? I'm going to get about halfway through the introduction and we'll close. Verse 21. Here's the winners. Here's the folks who wasn't afraid to try. Here's the folks who said, I may fail, but bless God, I ain't going to fail doing nothing. Here's the folks who said, they may ask me something at the door on Saturday, but I'll be there anyhow. And God, you'll just have to take care of the rest of it. The Bible says, and his Lord said unto him, well done. See me smiling at? Well done. When I was just a little bitty kid, that's all I wanted to hear my daddy say. I didn't care. It might have been following that mule through that tobacco patch all day long. It might be with that old hoe handle in my hand beating on those hard rocks and clods in the Tennessee mountains. It might have been off barren slabs of a sawmill. It might have been beavering logs through the woods in the daytime with that horse and taking them to the sawmill. It might be milking those cows. It might be getting the kindling. It might be taking the coal in. But all I did it for was not for any other reason, just to hear my daddy say, well done. Yes, I worked diligently all my life. Hear my daddy say, well done. Amen. I've worked hard. I've broken those old shucks off that corn in the wintertime, piled it up in that wagon, and I'd have me a pile of corn, and my daddy'd have a pile of corn, and I'd just try to get mine as big as daddy's. Not because I wanted mine bigger. I just like to hear my daddy say, son, good job. Amen. Good job. My daddy looked at me after a day's work and said, Dad, son, you've done a good job. That put a smile in my face. that kindled a song way down in my soul that nobody could take away. Can you say amen? Do you know what I'm talking about? Come on, talk to me a little bit. Do you know what I'm talking about? And for 41 years now, I've been shucking the corn. For 41 years today, I've been off bearing the slab for Jesus. For 41 years, I've been preaching the gospel and winning people to Jesus Christ. 41 years, I looked into faces, didn't like what I said. And 41 years, I've been trying to do it. And I'm doing it for one reason. That's all. Just well done. That's what I want to say. Well done. What are you looking for? What are you looking for from your Heavenly Father? I'd just like to hear Him say, well done. He'd say, well done, boy. I'll take off through heaven, zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day, amen. I'll kick up gold dust all over heaven, amen. I'll bounce off of the walls of Jasper. I'll splatter jewels all over Main Street, amen. I'll be running, dipping my toes in the water of life, kicking water knee-high. Can you say amen? Shouting, praising God. Hallelujah! Did you hear what my Father said? Well done! That's the testimony I want to hear. That's what I want my Lord to hear. Amen. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You see a song. You see any joy. You hear anything in that that you'd like to hear one day. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's been faithful. Hey, look, you don't have to be faithful over a lot of things, just over your things. That's been faithful over a few things. Now make you ruler over many. Enter into what? The joy. See, a lot of you folks are going to be uncomfortable. You're going to have to change the expression on your face when you get to heaven. Amen. The way some of we look, if I walk up the gate and it's full of folk looking like you, I'm going to leave. Amen. I'm just saying, bless your heart, I just believe the winners had it by going downhill, man. Thou hast been faithful. They took advantage of their opportunities. They lived by faith and not by fear. Can I give you something now? Life is to be invested, not wasted. And whatever God has given you, you need to invest it, not waste it. I close with this introduction. The tragedy in the text, is not that the man was a rapist or a murderer or a thief. The tragedy in the text is not that the man was a reprobate. Hey, probably he was a faithful church attender. As far as I know, probably knew and sung the songs of the Old Testament, all 150 of them, the book of Psalms. Probably he loved and prayed for his preacher. What was his sin? It was that of just absolutely doing nothing. He just did not do anything. He just did nothing. Can I please give you this thought? His membership was in the church, but his citizenship was in the world. You need to write that down. His membership was in the church, but his citizenship was in the world. He hid what he had in the world. He used what God had given him and put it in the world. He invested his life in fear and put it in the world. That's why this parable is so practical. Because it knocks on every door in this place. It knocks on my door. It knocks on your door. And all of us in this place this morning are guilty as sin of taking that which God in His graciousness and love has invested in us. And then we in turn invest what He's given us into this world for our benefit, not for His glory. Isn't God worth more than that? Isn't God worth more than that? You say, preacher, what was wrong with this guy? His citizenship. See, anybody can join this church. You can lie to me about being saved and baptized into a Baptist church by a Baptist preacher. You can lie to me about that, and I'll accept that. And we can take your name, Miss Shante, we'll put it on the roll next Sunday morning or next Monday morning, and you are a member in good standing of the Joshua Baptist Church. But that didn't do anything for your citizenship. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen? But won't they say in that day, but Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name. We have cast out devils in thy name. And done many wonderful works. And then he said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that workers iniquity. But preacher, I joined the church. That's not what it takes to get to heaven. You've got to change your citizenship. You've got to be born again. Amen. That's what it's all about. Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, what do you want me to do? Chrome your belly button? A lot of Baptists going to hell. Somebody asked me the other day, how many you think? I have no idea. But if it's according to our percentage of our membership and how many folk come to church, hell's going to be full. I'm just saying. I think God's worth more than what we're giving Him.
Amen.
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 Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And I'll bet it will surprise you what God has done. Amen.
Amen.
I visited a home yesterday and we were welcomed. Andrew and I was out with him, out visiting. We visited his home and, I tried to leave 4 or 5 times trying to be nice to the family and he kept trying to borrow money from me. No, I'm just kidding, brother. But they just made us feel so warm and so welcome and so they were so hospitable. And I just wanted to spend some time there. I like being around God's people, don't you?
Amen.
Church is not buildings. Church is fellowship. Church is encouragement. Church is coming alongside and said, hey, look, I know you're going through something and I'm praying for you. Church is being around people of like faith, of like struggle, of like difficulty, of like blessing. Can you say amen? I'm just saying, bless your heart. His problem was not church membership. His problem was citizenship.